Gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider Barabbas, a known criminal of his day, we too must confess that we often are like Barabbas. Our sins offend you. Our sins are for what you came and sent your Son into this world to die for. Help us to see the power of your love as it translates to each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hernando Cortez wanted to lead an expedition to Mexico to capture its vast treasures. And so he approached the Spanish governor at the time about what his intent was, and the governor was so excited that he gave Cortez, yes, 11 ships and 700 men to set out for Mexico in order to capture all of these vast treasures. In the spring of 1519, those 11 ships landed in Veracruz, Mexico. As soon as the ships were unloaded, Cortez had 10 of the 11 ships burned. Why would he do that, you might ask? His reasoning was that if the fighting got too fierce, there was no way out. They would have to stay and fight. They couldn't sail home. Whether they liked it or not, there was no way out of their situation. Well, today we want to talk about Barabbas. Barabbas creates a unique situation for Pontius Pilate. And Pilate finds himself like those who went to Veracruz, Mexico. He found himself in a similar situation, no way out. And in the end, he had only one choice, and that was to free Barabbas. Barabbas comes to it in the midst of a trial going on about Jesus. And it is Pilate who believes that Jesus is not guilty of any of the things that they are accusing him of. Prior to our reading, they brought him to Pilate, and Pilate already considered, and now we see him there in the headquarters meeting with Jesus. Are you the King of the Jews? He asked. Do you say this on your own accord, or did they say it to you for me? You see that whole discussion that takes place between Pilate and Jesus. And when we consider that trial there on that early morning on Good Friday, there are three key things going on here, three key words: innocent, guilty, free. We all know who's innocent. That would be Jesus. There he stood, innocent before Pilate. Pilate has convinced of that too. He said that about him. I find no guilt in him. Pilate doesn't believe that Jesus deserves the cross. He's okay with giving him a lecture. And we know he also will have him lashed, mocked, but not the cross. Here he is, Jesus, on the judgment seat. Here is Pilate on the judgment seat, about to condemn Jesus. Here he is, the governor of Judea. He has all the power. That is why they have brought, the Jewish leaders have brought Jesus before him, because they want him crucified. And so, in our text, John refers to him as the governor of Judea, not once, but twice. as that governor Pilate was the imperium in the Latin, the supreme power, the absolute dominion in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders knew it, and they knew that if they wanted him put on that cross, they needed Pilate to sentence him to death. Death, life, in the hands of Pilate. Now, it might have been an easier time to make that decision, but it was also the Passover time. And at the Passover, Jerusalem had grown to very large crowds. If you've been to some of these nice events where there's 50, 100,000 people, you know it gets a little crowded. That's what Jerusalem was like at that time. Pilate understood that he didn't want to create a situation here that could get out of hand, because as the governor of Judea, he wanted to keep his place with the Roman emperor. And so he's now left with a tough choice, a choice in which he sees no way out. Pilate declares Jesus innocent. But just here, but also in chapter 19:4-6, he says that. Think about it. The writers of the New Testament tell us this. In Hebrews 4:15, we are told that Jesus is without sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he knew no sin. The New Testament affirms that Jesus was innocent. Here stands the innocent one. And then there's that word guilty. It's well documented that Barabbas was a robber. In the Latin, he was a lustus. Lustus frequently is translated robber. But a lustus was one who was a fierce guerrilla fighter who was storming the Jewish countryside and putting it in a constant state of chaos. The crowd knew Barabbas. The crowd had been informed of Barabbas. In fact, Barabbas had been condemned. Pilate was sure he had his way out. In Matthew, he tells us he was known as Notorious Barabbas. The crowd saw him as heartless, cruel, a brutal criminal. And that was Pilate's way out. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the lustus is lustai, which means a group of robbers came and attacked the Good Samaritan. We all know that story. You see, a lustus was the worst kind of outlaw that you could be called at the time. In fact, Mark tells us he was a leading lustus among the insurrectionists, those ones who were rioting against the Roman rule, part of a political group called the Zealots. And the Zealots had one agenda: get the Romans out of Judea. And to make it happen, they'd slit your throat to get what they wanted. When it comes to guilt, it's pretty obvious. Barabbas was no petty thief. He was the kind of lustus Rome would love to put on a cross and make an example of. Nothing better than putting that Barabbas up there where everyone could see. He had been guilty. He had been sentenced to die. He was to be one of those on the cross. So it's easy for us to see Jesus is the innocent one. Barabbas is the guilty one. But think about this as you approach the cross. Ephesians 2:1 tells us we are dead in our trespasses. Ephesians 2 says we are hopeless. 2 Corinthians says we are blinded by the god of this world. When you and I come to that cross, we could be called Barabbas. We offend our God all of the time. Paul even made that claim in Romans chapter 7 when he said, "Wretched man that I am." It's not that I was, but I am wretched. And when we stand before God, all of us must deal with our sin and our wretchedness. It is on our behalf that Christ went to the cross. You see, sin is not just a lapse in judgment, which oftentimes that's where we want to pass it off, or just a minor stumble that we make. Sin is about rebelling against God. Sin wants to lay claims to God's throne, to defy God's authority. And the scriptures tell us all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone his own way. What a bold but true statement. Well, our sins might not be the same as that of Barabbas, but we all carry with us sin. And that sin declares us guilty too. I am a Barabbas. The wages of sin is death. The only one in this whole picture that stands innocent is the Christ. Guilty as Barabbas, guilty as you and me. Free is the one who does not deserve to be free, Barabbas. Jesus sentenced to take his place. I've often wondered, can you imagine, here is Barabbas, he's brought into this trial, put before them and says, do I set this man free and crucify the Christ, or do I set Christ free and you? And Barabbas, upon hearing that he was freed, can you imagine what he must have felt like? He knew he was guilty. He knew he was soon to die. But he'd been given another chance. When he hears those words from Pilate, Barabbas, you are free. Think about that. The crowd, filled with guilt, had set him free. They'd set him to see the light of another day. The shackles gone, the crimes pardoned. And then the innocent one, Christ, is nailed to that cross. Mockery, the spear, the shame, in order to set us free. He had the judgment placed upon him. For you see, God does not overlook our sin. God deals with our sin through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He took our place on the cross. He went there for you, for me, for the whole world. And in his cross, there's our freedom. And so those three words, innocent, guilty, and free, we are free because of what Christ has done, just as Barabbas was set free. Psalm 146 says, the Lord sets the prisoners free. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Galatians says that Christ has set us free. And then in Revelations we hear those words, Jesus has freed us from the sins by his blood. Our freedom is only in one way. It is that freedom made possible through Christ's cross, death, and resurrection. Christ, innocent, took our condemnation, our sin. He frees you from your past, your present, and yes, even your future. Neither the powers of hell or Satan can harm any one of us because of what Christ has done. Innocent, guilt, free. Important words as we journey to the cross. Important words in any trial. Which one of these is the most important word in your life. Should be easy. You are free. Free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you have been freed indeed. Live in the power of that freedom. Amen. At this time, we have our offering brought forward.